I was in Kosovo. It was 2001, 2002. I was in Kosovo. I was working with Samaritan's Purse and a couple other humanitarian aid groups shortly after the war. War in Kosovo ended in end of 1999. UN came in and, long story, but there was 88 days of war, bombing. There was villages flattened, there was bridges flattened, there was destruction all over the place. What we ended up doing was hooking up with the humanitarian aid groups that had come in and rebuilt everything, and we hooked up with them, hooked up with the national workers, got to go in and evangelize and church plant and go village to village, house to house, and share the gospel. It was amazing how what open doors there were. It was amazing how God just did some very miraculous things in the country of Kosovo. Kosovo, as they say there. One of our days off, I was decided I'm going to go climb a mountain. Anybody ever climbed a mountain before? Yes. A few people. So I went to go climb a mountain. And I'm with some friends. We climb up this mountain. I mean, it was hard. Hard work. Very rugged. It wasn't terribly high, but it was steep. Like a wrong move, I wouldn't be here. Kind of thing. So I'm climbing up this mountain. We get halfway up. Ooh, oh, man, this is killing. Keep going. It took us, I don't know, half a day to get up there. Get up there. And there's a cow right in my face. And then there's a herd of sheep right up there on top of the hill. Like, how did you get up here? It's not fair. There was a back way. Who knew? I don't know much about sheep and shepherd relationship. We got to the top and saw this herd of sheep and spent time in Kosovo, Macedonia. Got to see them herding sheep and how they... It's pretty cool. The Bible talks about sheep and shepherd a lot, right? The Bible has a lot of sheep-shepherd narrative weaved throughout. This message kind of was birthed out of, for those of you who were here on Christmas, I talked about the Christmas narrative from the perspective of the shepherds and how the shepherds in biblical times were kind of the looked down on group. They were the group that was not super popular. They had a job no one else wanted to do. They were their voice would not hold up in the court of law. They were distrusted. They were nobody liked them, right? And even if you were a good shepherd or a trustworthy shepherd, nobody trusted you. God comes to earth. And the very first people he shows up to and announces it to is some shepherds hanging out in a field. And how it says the glory of the Lord shone around them and he announces the good news of what's taking place. And these shepherds are touched by the presence of God. They're touched by the glory of God. And suddenly they're going out. They go and they see the baby Jesus. They're amazed. Wow, this is awesome. Everything the angel told us. Here it is, right? They go back and they start telling people what they had seen and heard. And it says, people were amazed at what the shepherds were saying. So suddenly these people, these shepherds that did not have a voice, that their voice could not hold up in the court of law, that nobody wanted to listen to, suddenly had an experience with the presence of God. And all of a sudden they had a voice and people were amazed at what they were saying. When we have an experience, when we have an encounter with the presence of God, there's something that changes in us. There's something that changes, not just in us, but the way we express ourselves and the way we share the love of Christ, and we share what God's done in our life. It changes. It changes the way we're heard. Amen? So I was thinking about shepherds, and it was right at that point, kind of the sheep-shepherd narrative throughout Scripture. I started digging into it, started thinking about it, started, wow, this is super intriguing. And I went to it right after Christmas. I went to a conference down in Kansas City. The very first message, the first message of this whole conference is, I want to talk to you about shepherds. That was, oh my goodness. And then, I don't know, just shepherds and sheep. And then we hear this year of increasing trust. How does a sheep have to trust a shepherd? Why would a sheep trust a shepherd? There's lots and lots of examples of sheep's, how we need to trust the shepherd's voice. We need to trust his leading. We need to trust his guiding. We need to trust his, right? Sheep need to trust. So, trust the good shepherd. We're going to start in John 10. So, John chapter 10, in most Bibles, it's the subtitle is, I am the good shepherd, right? Talks about shepherding. Truly, I say to you, he does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way. That man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls to his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. They do not know the voice of a stranger. So first of all, the one of the ways we trust the shepherds is, and one of the way the sheep and shepherd relationship comes about is learning the shepherd's voice. How do we learn the shepherd's voice? Practically, how do we hear God's voice? How do we hear the voice of the shepherd? His word? Prayer? Listening? Shutting up? What's that? Caring? Spending time with him. Yes. Holy Spirit? I'm guilty as anybody. I listen to a lot of other voices. I want to hear the shepherd's voice. If I'm going to hear the shepherd's voice, I got to stop listening to all the other voices. If I want to spend time knowing and hearing and understanding the voice of the shepherd, I got to take time to listen to it. Because there's a lot of other voices. Media. Andrew's talking about taking a social media fast. Ooh, that'd be so hard for some of us. Especially the kids I work with. Who, me? No, just kidding. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock, and the flock scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. So this message, I'm starting with the premise of he is the good shepherd. He is The Bible describes him as the good shepherd in John 10. Hebrews 13, it says he's the great shepherd. 1 Peter 5, it says he's the chief shepherd. Psalm 80 says he's the shepherd of Israel. Hebrews 2, he's the shepherd of your soul. There's other references to he is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. But how the way sheep were described as sheep, there's a lot of, I've heard some sermons about how dumb sheep are and how they kind of just go with the flow, and I have been researching and looking at sheep, and sheep are dumb. I will admit, watching some YouTube videos on sheep, I could show some, we don't have time. Funny stuff, man. Psalm 23. Anybody know Psalm 23? Yes, you do. Even if you don't know Jesus, you know Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. Think about that for a moment. Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Just let that set in for a sec. If he's your shepherd, you lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Restores my soul. The whole point and purpose of him making you lie down in green pastures is to restore your soul. That's what he's interested in. You want to make you lay, I'm going to make you lay down because I want your life to be miserable. No, that's not his heart. I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures because I want to refresh and renew your soul. He has your best interests in mind. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. The valley of the shadow of death. I heard someone is preaching on it recently. He said, you get to the Psalm 23, walking through the valley of shadow of death. I walk through it for I am with you. You get through that first by going through Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff. Again, we would look at what the shepherd does with the staff. The rod was for protection. It was a short little club thing that they would fight off wolves and predators. The staff was something they actually used to keep their sheep reined in, right? The one with the big hook on it. They would hook them and bring them back. Or if they had a wandering sheep, they'd keep bringing them back, and if it didn't work, if the sheep kept wandering, for his own good, he would break his leg and then carry him on his shoulders, hold him, care for him, put him down, let him eat, pick him up, nurse him back to health, and then put him down, and guess what? The sheep never wandered anymore. But it was for the sheep's own good. We would look at that and say, you're so mean. God, you're so mean, you broke my leg. He's saying it's for your own good because you keep wandering off, keep doing your own thing. You're like sheep led astray. We all like sheep have been led astray, right? Sometimes we need the discipline of God. Always. We got to come to a place where we love the discipline of God. Because he has our best interests in mind. That's hard to say. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in your house. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to just, this is Isaiah 40, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. You hear the heart of a shepherd in these passages? Do you hear the heart of God's love for his sheep? And how God actually calls his sheep by name. And his sheep, he knows his sheep, and the sheep know him. And there's relationship, and there's intimacy, and there's something. And it sounds weird to even talk about a sheep and a shepherd having intimacy. But they know each other. And they know each other so well that one of them wanders off, and he leaves the whole flock to go find the one. Because I know him. I care about him. I'm going to get him. So these are the things how we're going to go. So out of these passages, these are just some things that I picked out of these passages. These are some things that the shepherd does. He feeds them, right? Yes, sheep are kind of dumb. Feeds us. What does it mean to feed? What does it mean for the shepherd to feed us? What is it? Let me ask you this. What are you feeding on? Who is feeding you? Is it the shepherd feeding you? Are you being led to the shepherd for your sustenance? Or what's feeding you? This lady has over 500 sheep and 7 kids. Yes. He leads and guides. So there's times where he's leading out front. He's gently leading us. Come on, come on, follow me. And there's times where he's got to get behind the flock and say, come on, I got to guide you. Come on. That's why they have sheepdogs, right? He leads and guides. He holds. Carries. Comforts and protects. Talked about that already. Now, sheep don't really take care of themselves very well. This was a sheep in Australia who was found out in the wild. He hadn't been sheared in a while. Part of the heart of the shepherd is caring for his flock. Ain't getting out of that. It doesn't matter how many other sheep come to help him. He needs a shepherd, right? Now, this in real life, as a youth pastor, looks something like this. He's got his head stuck in a chair. I don't know if you can see it. They're hacksawing the chair apart. They gave him a sucker in the meantime to keep him calm. Yes. He needs a shepherd, right? And I just think, talks about God being the shepherd, Jesus being the shepherd. Here in the life of Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of the area, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom. He healed every disease and illness. I want to just think for a moment. He was preaching, he was teaching, and he was healing every sickness and disease. Could anybody teach or preach better than Jesus? Anybody evangelize better than him? Anybody heal the sick better than him? And the multitudes were coming. right? He was in the middle of revival, in the middle of, we would look at that and say, amazing, fruitful, supernatural revival going on, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? If every sickness and disease was being healed, if the preaching was super powerful and people weren't falling asleep, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm not going to point anybody out. We would look at those things and say, wow, that's amazing. Jesus is in the midst of revival, in the midst of amazing things going on. In the midst of it, he turns to his disciples and he says this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. In the midst of revival, in the midst of God doing amazing things, in the midst of powerful things going on, he's looking at the crowds, looking at the multitudes, and he's having compassion on them. And he's saying, they're harassed and helpless. They don't have anybody to follow up with them. They don't have anybody to disciple them. They don't have anybody to take care of them. They don't have anybody to feed them. They don't have anybody, all the things we just talked about. They don't have anybody to do those things in their life. Yeah, it's amazing. I'm healing. I'm preaching the gospel. We're seeing things happen. We're seeing amazing things happen. It's the ministry of Jesus right there. Amazing things happening. And he says it's not good enough. Because these people are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They're dazed and confused. People without a shepherd, people without somebody speaking direction into their life, people without feeding them and caring for them and tending to them, and they don't have that, it breeds confusion. Anybody see that in the culture? All over the place. Then he turns to his disciples and he says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord of the harvest, Lord who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send for more workers into his field. We need more shepherds. The whole point of this message is he is the good shepherd. He's the shepherd of our soul. He cares for us. He's awesome. He's loving. He loves us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to know him. But out of that, he gives us the heart of a shepherd. Out of that, he gives us his heart. Out of knowing the heart of the shepherd, we become shepherds. Out of knowing the heart of God, we become those that shepherd others. I'm not just saying that as a pastor. Pastor and shepherd are intermingled throughout Scripture. And as a pastor, that's what I'm called. I'm called to shepherd people. But I believe in Ephesians 4 when he says he's given someone to be pastors, teachers, prophets, apostles, evangelists. He's given those to equip the body of Christ to do the work of ministry. Part of my job as a shepherd is to impart the shepherd heart into people, so that we can be shepherds to one another. Amen? What does it look like being a shepherd? A whole bunch of pastors. How cool is that? Jeremiah 3:15. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart. I'll give you shepherds after my own heart. Who will lead with knowledge. The other translations say feed. They will feed you with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. I will give you shepherds. Speaking to Israel there. He's speaking to Israel. He's saying, I'm going to give you shepherds. I'm going to give you shepherds that are after my heart. You guys remember the heart of what God said about David, who was a shepherd, hanging out in the field? He's a man after my own heart. I will give you shepherds after my own heart. the impartation of the shepherd, the good shepherd. I don't want to become like, I'm just going to go out and find the lost kids, and I'm going to get them all and gather them. And it comes out of this place of, I've got to do more, and it comes out of a place of work, and you know what I'm saying? It's got to come out of a place of, I understand God's heart. I know and understand God's heart for people. I know and understand God's heart for the lost and the broken. I know and understand God's heart for those that are wandering. I know and understand God's heart for those that are wounded and broken. I know and understand God's heart for those who are not able to feed themselves. I know and understand God's heart for those that are not able to care for themselves. I know and understand God's heart for those that are, you name it. It's coming out of the heart of God. I will give you shepherds after my own heart, according to my heart, who will lead and guide with wisdom and understanding. Pastor Steve, Pastor Andrew, myself, we're pastors. We're going to leave with wisdom and understanding. That wisdom and understanding, Pastor Justin, I don't want to leave you out. Pastor James, Pastor whoever, Pastor Marnie, Pastor Tom. I can say Pastor all of you. You're all shepherds, right? That shepherd heart doesn't come from just a good feeling. This is Jeremiah chapter 9. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or their strong boast, or the strong boast in their strength, or the rich boast in their riches. Listen to this. But the one who boasts, boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me. That's where it comes from. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. It comes from his heart. It comes from his heart, knowing his heart and understanding his heart. It comes from knowing him. It comes from knowing the voice of the shepherd. It comes from trusting him. It comes from understanding him. It comes from hearing his voice. Knowing his voice. Play the song, I Shall Not Want. You might be here this morning, and this whole idea of the shepherd and sheep, and I don't really know the shepherd, I don't really have an intimate relationship with him, I don't hear his voice. You're here this morning and you want to know the good shepherd. You want to know the good shepherd. You want to be introduced to the good shepherd, to the great shepherd, to the chief shepherd, to the shepherd who loves and cares for his sheep. We want to introduce you to the good shepherd this morning. I want to introduce you to the Good Shepherd. He's awesome. For some of you in here, you've been wanting to hear his voice, but you're not exactly sure how to do that. You're not exactly sure. We want to pray for you this morning. If you're in here and you're whatever level this message spoke to you, you want to respond. You want to respond to the good shepherd. You want to respond and say, I'm called to be a shepherd. I'm called to get in the nitty and gritty with somebody else. I'm called to get in the fight with somebody. I'm called to go through the valley of a shadow of death with somebody. I'm called to fight for somebody. You feel like God's giving you and imparting to you the heart of a shepherd. We want to pray for that too. Can we do something a little bit different here this morning? I wonder if Pastor Steve, you can come. Pastor Justin. We're pastors. This message is like the heart of who we are. We want to lead out of knowing Him. And we want to lead out of knowing God's heart. We want to lead out of not of our own strength and our own get her done, our own. We want to know Him. And we want to lead with that heart. And I'm wondering if you guys would pray for us. I know that's usually the benediction is. I'm wondering, can you pray for us? Because we want to lead the congregation in a. Does that make sense? Thank you, church. If you'll stretch out your hand, receive. Jesus, I pray that the heart of the shepherd would be revealed to each one in here this week. That the good shepherd would be revealed to us this week. And Lord, we in return would be shepherds after your own heart. Pray that for this congregation, that we would be a congregation of shepherds after your heart. A congregation of shepherds that love and care deeply for people. Pray your blessing on Bethel Christian Fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.